What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with my guy, Michael Lev, senior writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. We appreciate you guys for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and comment the Wildcast podcast on Apple and Spotify, and also find the video version of this episode on Tucson.com. And make sure you also subscribe to Tucson.com and also the Arizona Daily Star. And if you're looking just for sports, we've got a sports-only option. Download the Wildcaster mobile app today. Very cheap sub. And then on the Wildcaster app, you get every single sports story, every little piece of content that we produce on a daily basis. So this is always a fun episode, Lev, because we put a bow on the Arizona Wildcats sports season. And I know, you know, track and field is happening and, you know, they got those championships and all that. And, but I feel like it now is an appropriate time to really just recap the season that it was for the Arizona Wildcats. And we have an award show, maybe we'll call it the Wildcasties. And we have several categories. And we're going to do Team of the Year, Male Athlete of the Year, Female Athlete of the Year, Transfer of the Year, Freshman of the Year, Coach of the Year, and then Best Moment. And Lev and I, we will go back and forth. We'll share our own answers. Cool little fun tidbit here, kind of, you know, showing, you know, how the sausage is made. Lev and I don't know each other's answers. We don't know each other's picks. So we're going into this thing blind, and so it should be a wild ride. And it was a wild ride this year for Arizona Athletics, Lev. First year in the Big 12.
Yeah, it indeed was an interesting year in a lot of ways. Some successes, some failures. We're going to be emphasizing the positive on this particular podcast, which I think we usually do. Some people like that. Some people don't. Justin, you look like you're fresh and ready. Look, you got a haircut recently. You look clean.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to recover from putting together the all quarter century Arizona baseball team.
Oh yeah,
just about killed me. I mean, that was really hard. People should check that out though. Some very difficult decisions on how to narrow that down to a 25 man squad, and I had 30 honorable mentions, and I was even grinding over the honorable mentions. I'm like, should this guy be an honorable mention? So, you know. Yeah. So check that out for sure. Justin has already done the all quarter century Arizona football team, all quarter century Tucson high school football team. And then I am scheduled to have the Arizona softball team up by this weekend. So you'll want to check that one out as well. Mm-hmm. But let's get to the awards, Justin.
Real quick.
Yeah.
If Arizona did not make the College World Series, would Mason White be on that? Or was the College World Series a huge factor?
No, I think he would have been anyway.
Okay.
I mean, look, even without the College World Series, he moved into second place all time in home runs and tied for first in extra base hits and did all of that in 3 years playing middle infield positions. So,
yeah,
he was going to be on there. But I had to find a spot for him that wasn't shortstop because Alex Mejia – shortstop with the 2012 team had to be the shortstop. So
totally.
That's one of the reasons people should check this out. See where I slotted in Mason White.
A lot of great players. Check out all of our quarter century teams on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster mobile app. All right. Like Lev said, let's get to the awards. Let's first start off with, I think we should do the team of the year.
Okay. Lev.
The team of the year, my selection is the triathlon team. Winning the national championship, you know, think about it. This triathlon program was just added just a couple of years ago. And Wesley Johnson has done a nice job of assembling the roster and adding some really good young players and transfers. And the good news for him is that, you know, some of these players are coming back next year. And so, and they have a really good recruiting class. So the nucleus of the members of the triathlon team that just won a national championship, they're looking to make it two in a row, and they're also going to mentor the younger players. And then now Wesley Johnson has a nice rotation of players and looks like he's built up a pretty nice program. I mean, to win a national championship in a couple of years, I think that's big time, and that's definitely worth noting. And Wesley Johnson is a great dude, a great coach, and I got to put Arizona Triathlon as my team of the year.
Yes, I have the same. They won the national championship. I mean, you can't do any better than that. They did it in their second year of existence. It's so extremely impressive accomplishment. I would be fascinated to know like how the coaching of triathlon works. I mean, it's three completely different disciplines, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, obviously there's endurance and you have to be fit, and you have to have desire and determination and all of those things. But, you know, do they have specialists in each one of those exercises that they do, or is Wes Johnson know all and is able to coach them up in all three things? So anyway, regardless, I also picked triathlon as my team of the year. Like my honorable mentions for this, I had baseball number two, making it to the College World Series, kind of a big deal. I had volleyball number three. They won the NIVC, which is kind of the NIT of volleyball. And that was a big breakthrough for Sherita Stubbs and her program. And others that I considered were men's tennis, which made the Sweet 16 again, at the third year in a row, I think.
Yep.
And then women's golf won the Big 12 championship. So that was pretty cool and unexpected too. But I feel like it was triathlon all the way, with baseball being the runner-up.
And kind of the cherry on top for Arizona and, you know, followers of UVA, people who are fans of the Wildcats, they not only won the national championship, but they dethroned defending national champion, Arizona State.
That always makes it a little bit sweeter, right?
You beat your rival and you win a natty. Pretty good. Okay, so now moving on to male athlete of the year. And Lev, this is where I got tied up. And this is where it's really subjective more than anything, because, man, I thought about it and I really want to go with Colton Smith, the men's tennis player. You know, he is maybe the best athlete on campus, right? I mean, he's currently playing in Wimbledon. Like, he's playing in the Super Bowl of tennis. He just played in the French Open. He could have been playing professionally, and he's just like, I love the team aspect of tennis. Like, what a guy, right? He could have been making a boatload of money, doing his thing, playing professional tennis, but he kind of like sacrificed his world ranking. Like, if you look at his world ranking, it may be pedestrian to some, but like, the reason why it's that low is because he was playing at the University of Arizona. A great player, generational talent. Maybe Arizona will never get another Colton Smith on their team, but I didn't put Colton Smith on there. And maybe this is where I am showing my bias a little bit, being the Arizona football beat reporter. But Tetero McMillan breaking the Arizona receiving record, breaking Bobby Wade's record, and then also becoming the highest selected offensive player in the NFL draft from Arizona. There was just so many factors that went into T-Mac. And I know Arizona football having a 4-8 season, it wasn't the year that everyone thought it was going to be. But I thought T-Mac, despite all of that, was very special, breaking the record. The man didn't have to play in the Territorial Cup game. He could have easily backed out and been like, this is a pointless game. We're not going to a bowl game. For him to play in that game and score one last touchdown at Arizona, like I said, so many layers went into this decision, Lev, but I'm trusting my gut, Tetero McMillan, male athlete of the year.
Yeah, see, this is why I like this whole process, because I didn't pick either one of those guys.
Oh, wow.
Male athlete of the year. How about that, huh?
Okay.
I went with Zach Eckstein of the track and field team, who set a program record in the 110 meter hurdles, finished second nationally in that event. I thought that was a really, really big deal for him to pull that off. And I wasn't sure how to deal with like T-Mac and Colton Smith. And I'll add Zach Polo or Poyo. I'm not sure how to
Polo.
I'm not sure how to like incorporate their quote unquote, you know, professional accomplishments, right? Like Zach Polo qualified for the US Open, which is one of the hardest things to do in all of sports. Absolutely incredible. Like, does that part of his overall resume when we're trying to figure out the Arizona male athlete of the year. Tetteroy McMillan being a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Is that part of his resume? Colton Smith being a top college player who I think went like 23-2 this year.
Yeah.
In his college matches, and also playing ATP events at the same time. Does that count toward his resume? So wasn't sure how to factor all of those things in. Those guys were all, you know, in my top group to be sure. But I went with Zach because of setting that record and finishing second in the nation in the 110 meter hurdles. We don't give a lot of love to Arizona track and field. So thought I would spread the love a little bit and give it to him. Nothing against any of those other guys, obviously all tremendous choices. And like I said, it's interesting to sort of think about the fact that you can, you know, especially with Colton Smith, like you can be a college athlete and also earn money on the ATP tour at the same time. It feels like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have been an insane concept, but the way things are now, you can do it. He's graduated and fully a professional now, and he's in qualifying to get into the main draw at Wimbledon. But I went with the guy who did it all here, still here at Arizona, no sort of professional add-ons to his candidacy for the Male Athlete of the Year award.
Big fan of Zach Eckstein, football player too, was a football guy in addition to running track. So good choice on Zach Eckstein. All right.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I was not. That was definitely a curveball. I was like, Lev's totally going to pick Colton Smith. So I got to ride with my guy T-Mac here. All right. So female athlete of the year, you can go a number of options here, but I think for female athlete of the year, it's gotta be Devin Nettz, the Arizona softball ace pitcher who pitched a perfect game and also hit a home run in the same game, which has never been done by an Arizona Wildcat. There have been perfect games, right? There have been no hitters, but to do that and also hit a home run in the same game, Devin Nettz definitely in a class of her own. I really wish that the ending to her time at Arizona was just a little better, right? Like, her performance in the regional against Ole Miss, she'll be the first one to tell you she wishes that she could change certain things. And I wish for Devin Nettz that it ended in a different way and it ended in a more positive fashion. But think about this, Lev. She was named Big 12 Softball Player of the Year in the same conference that has the face of college softball right now in Nigeri Kennedy. For her to get that honor, I think says a lot. It's because she's a great pitcher and she's also a great hitter. So to me, Devin Nettz, Arizona softball star, she's got to be the female athlete of the year.
Devin Nettz was my choice as well. Couple things of note about her. Really good hitter. Like, I think she finished second, or maybe tied for first on the team in home runs, batting right in the middle of the lineup. Also the top pitcher on the team. And she really improved a lot as a pitcher. I know she struggled against Ole Miss. They had her number there at the end of the season. I don't think it should take away from her accomplishments for the whole season. Sort of similar to Tony Pluta.
Yeah.
Had some struggles at the end. I think a lot of Tony's issues were bad luck more than anything else. But doesn't take away from the great season that he had. The way it ended for Devin Nettz should not take away from the season that she had. I was struggling a little bit to come up with other candidates for this particular award. One that I did find, Justin, was Kelly Wetland of the triathlon team. I was like, who's the best player on the best team, right? That's always someone who's like,
yeah,
in the conversation for MVP, right? So Kelly was a junior, I believe, this past year, if I'm reading this correctly. And she was a first team All-American in the actual like triathlon national championship meet. She finished second individually. So if there's anyone you're going to cite from the national championship team, it was Kelly. So I had her as kind of my number two. And then I also threw Jordan Wilson and Jalen Hodge in there from the volleyball team. I was kind of like, they were kind of the veteran, you know, best overall players, attackers on that particular squad. So I gave them some recognition as well. But I thought Devin was the one who distinguished herself the most. As you mentioned, Big 12 Player of the Year. There haven't, for all the like the greatness of Arizona softball over the last 30 plus years, there haven't been that many women who have won a Conference Player of the Year award. So that is a great distinction, and I think that it's kind of cinches it for Devin.
Yeah, she did something not even Jenny Finch did. It's crazy. Jenny Finch never won Conference Player of the Year, even though she was like the face of softball. Was not one of the like the 8 or 9 players to win Conference Player of the Year. It's crazy. All right. Let's move on to Transfer of the Year. To be honest with you, this one was a hard one because like I wanted to go towards, okay, let me check in with basketball, right? Arizona basketball usually gets a good transfer. Nah, Trey Townsend, he was all right. He definitely emerged in March, but definitely not worthy of winning this award. And so I started to dig deeper and I realized, oh, Sydney Stewart, she transferred from Washington. She started a bunch of games this past year at catcher. And she also had 20 home runs and a .374 batting average. She was a big part in the success of Arizona softball this year. So Sydney Stewart, to me, was the clear answer to put as Transfer of the Year. What say you, Love?
You nailed it. It's definitely Sydney Stewart. Yeah. She was one of the best players on a team that hosted a regional. As mentioned, she batted .374. She had 20 home runs. What's interesting about her is prior to coming to Arizona, she was not a big power hitter at all. I think she had, I want to say she had 17 home runs in her previous two seasons combined, maybe 12 home runs. I don't know. Whatever it was, she hit more this season than she had in her first 2 years at Washington. Now, some of that is the weather, the atmospheric conditions in Tucson are much more conducive to hitting the long ball than they are up in Washington, where, you know, you're more closer to sea level and it's damp and it's cold and all of those things. But she wanted to come here, work with this coaching staff to improve her game. And it really came together for her. And she's going to kind of be the anchor of the 26 Wildcats, her and Reagan Shockey, after a couple of women decided to transfer, who are also kind of in that nucleus. So, yeah, she was the one for sure. Again, I struggled to come up with a long list here. I was like going through rosters last night of the various teams, and I'm like, a lot of Arizona teams are built the old-fashioned way, you know, with high school players. Couple more that I did come up with that I considered. One was Aaron Walton, who was the starting center fielder for the baseball team, transferred in from Samford, had a very good all-around season, led the team in stolen bases. Batted second for most of the year, power, a good defensive player in center field, got on base a lot, got hit by pitches a ton. So he was really a great table setter for the aforementioned Mason White, and someone who I think is going to be drafted within the top 6 to 8 rounds in the MLB draft here coming up in July. And then the other one that I came up with was Quali Conley from the football team, leading rusher, right? Coming in from San Jose State. There's just a greater volume of football players who fit the bill of, you know, first year transfers. They had a lot of guys, right? Who fell into that category. Quali was the one that I cited. I thought he did well. He was a good receiver. He was reliable for the most part. Like I said, leading rusher, not a very good team, of course, disappointing season for the Wildcats, but that was another one, that I considered, as that transfer. And just to be clear, we're talking about athletes who transferred like last summer.
Yes.
You know, right? Like not who began their career at some point somewhere else, but they had to have been first year Wildcats this
like
year.
Like Caleb Love does not count.
Correct.
So
yes.
Quali Conley, really underrated choice. Really good choice there, because if you think about the circumstances that he was kind of put in, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt dealing with eligibility issues. Rayshon Speedy Luke, after four games, decided I'm going to redshirt and then transfer after this year. Like they had a number of issues with the running backs. Like those guys were dropping like flies, and I thought he did a nice job kind of carrying the load as the starter.
Yeah, I think like in an alternate reality, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt would have won this award, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
But obviously he ended up running into some eligibility issues. It limited him to only one game as an Arizona Wildcat. But hey, he did go into the NFL draft with that block A on his name. So Arizona somehow, some way can take credit for that one, even though he played only one game in a UA uniform.
All right, now let's move on to the next category, Lev. Freshman of the year. Who's the youngster that really impacted their team this year? You'll appreciate this one, Lev, and you probably have the same one. We're probably going to have the same pick here. Smith Bailey, pitcher, Arizona. And the reason why I put Smith Bailey on here is, well, I mean, first and foremost, he's a Baseball America second team freshman All-American. Perfect Game has him also as a second team freshman All-American. And then he made the All Big 12 freshman team. So as far as the national scope, Smith Bailey, definitely a well-respected player. And I just go back to the super regional, I guess. I mean, really both levels of the postseason before they got to the College World Series, his composure in those games, like, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Lev. There were a couple of times where I'm like, oh, man, Smith Bailey's a freshman. He's getting into some sticky situations. And then Arizona baseball was able to get out of it. And Smith Bailey had a big hand in that. And so I think his ability to just be so measured in these high-pressured situations, he certainly didn't look like a freshman in the postseason, I'll tell you that. And, you know, we talked about it after the season, Lev, like, Arizona baseball has to figure out whatever they can do to keep Smith Bailey on their team, because he's a really good player and a guy that's going to perhaps go down as an Arizona legend. But, man, great first season. I got to put Smith Bailey as my freshman of the year.
Yes, I had the same choice, though I did come up with about half a dozen candidates for this, and we'll get into that here in a second. But as far as keeping Smith Bailey, it's looking good. You know, word on the street is that John DeRuin is going to succeed Kevin Vance as Arizona's pitching coach. John has been you know, Kevin's right-hand man the last 2 years. That was really about the smartest move that the you know, U of A baseball organization could have made to make sure that the likes of Smith Bailey and Mason Russell, who was another super highly touted freshman pitcher from the state of Arizona, that those guys stick around and continue their careers here at the U of A, because obviously when, you know, something like this happens, you have this breakout that for all the nation to see, super regional, heck, wasn't his fault that they lost in the College World Series, right? He left with the lead in that game. He also pitched the clinching game in the Big 12 tournament. Right. He had four quality starts in his last five outings, at the point where you kind of expect that a player will hit the quote unquote freshman wall. Like he knocked down the wall, like the Kool-Aid mascot, right? Like,
oh yeah. Just,
oh yeah. So yeah. So he was my pick as well. Looks like, you know, future ace type of player. So I'm going to give you some deep cuts here, Justin, on some other freshman of the year candidates for Arizona. One is from the triathlon team. It's Margarita Vrablova. She was named the Collegiate Triathlon Coaches Association National freshman of the year. So big time freshman year for Margarita, and a foundational athlete for the triathlon team, which of course will be in the mix for the national championship for many years to come based on what we've seen so far. So that was one. And I got one from the swimming and diving team too. Tomas Lukminas from the men's swimming and diving team. He was named the Big 12 Swimming and Diving Freshman of the Year. He's from Lithuania. I'm trying to remember where Margarita is from. She's also, I think, from Europe. I'm going to look that up here real quick. She's from Slovakia. Tomas is from Lithuania. And very, very good in the freestyle. Set the U of A record in the 100 free as a freshman. So again, someone else with a very promising future who can we can just add to our list of kind of breakout freshmen for this year. I've got two from the volleyball team who were prominent members of that squad. One was Avery Scoggins. The other one was Carly Cisneros. Carly Cisneros came in with a lot of fanfare.
Yeah,
I believe she was the number one ranked recruit in the entire class. Not as much, you know, fanfare for Avery, who came here from the state of North Carolina, but she was the starting setter for the team the whole year and was extremely productive for them. So there were a couple more. And then I also wanted to acknowledge Jenna Sniffen of the softball team, who held down third base. I think she ended up hitting under 300, kind of tailed off offensively toward the end of the year, but very, very good defensively. And that is a super important and difficult position to play in the sport of softball, that third base spot, because first of all, I mean, you're just really close to the action, number one. So there's a lot of hard hit balls coming your way. And then number two, like the bunt game, the slap game are so prevalent that you really need to know what you're doing. And she did a great job there. So she also made my list, but I agree with you. I think Smith Bailey is the one who stands out above all the rest.
Is Tommy Lloyd the reason why we're not talking about Carter Bryant?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, our colleague Bruce Pascoe did a good story on this. Everyone should check it out. Like, just the idea of how someone with such a low usage rate could end up being a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. We're recording this on Wednesday before the draft has actually happened tonight and tomorrow. But that's the expectation for Carter Bryant, and we could all see the talent, right? And Tommy Lloyd was trying to explain in Bruce's story that, like, you have to look at the circumstances, right? You have to look at the context of things, and the team was having success with Carter Bryant coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Right. It's sort of like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Chase Davis. If you remember, Chase Davis barely played on the 2021 Arizona baseball team because the team was so good. I mean, they were incredible. They made it to the College World Series, and Jay Johnson would say, "We have a superstar on the bench." And he wouldn't say who that was, but he was talking about Chase Davis. And then Chase goes on to hit, 39 home runs, all American, first round pick, all of those things. Carter Bryant is not in the same position because he's able to go directly to the pros.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in baseball. You have to play for 3 years once you've committed to coming to college. It's just sort of a different developmental timeline. But it reminds me of that in a way, because I know there are fans out there who will never get over the fact that Carter Bryant didn't play more. Yeah. Just like they'll never get over the fact that Chase Davis didn't play more, even though Arizona had a stacked lineup in that 2021 season.
And, Carter, to his credit too, he was willing to come off the bench. And like, he had great body language all throughout the season. And Tommy doesn't really rely on freshmen a whole lot. Like, he has made that clear from the jump that he really likes to kind of slowly develop them and work them in. He's done that with Kylan Boswell. He did that with Carter Bryant. Like, he's done that with a lot of talented freshmen. So it would have been nice to see Carter Bryant play more, but I think it all worked out for everybody. Now, Carter Bryant goes into the NBA draft, and he's still going to be maybe a top 10 pick. We'll find out. We're recording this on Wednesday.
So. I'll tell you what, though. It will not be the case next year for Arizona men's basketball because
you got to rely on Koa Pete.
Koa Pete and Braden Burries are going to play, and they are going to play a lot, and they are going to be like anchors of this team. And I think if we're still sitting here in this position next June, Justin, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Koa Pete is someone we're talking about as the Arizona freshman of the year and also maybe a lottery pick.
Yeah, no doubt.
At the same time, right? Likewise, women's basketball, I think freshmen are going to play a big role there too. I think they've got, I mean, obviously they have an all new team. 12 of the 13 players are new. And I believe 4 of them are freshmen. And I don't think that Becky Burke is going to have any biases toward anybody. It's going to may the best woman win, right? Like throw the ball out there and see who can get it done, even if those players are freshmen. So I didn't give a lot of consideration at all to the women's basketball team because everybody's gone.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say that it's completely disqualifying if you've transferred, but I don't know. I didn't pay them much mind because, you know, they've all bailed for one reason or another.
So. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe next year we're talking about one of their transfers being the transfer of the year, right? You never
Certainly
know.
Certainly a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
For that, for sure. A lot of minutes available over there for women's basketball.
All right. Now let's move on to coach of the year. Who was the best coach in the 2024-25 season? You know, I was actually leaning towards Tommy Lloyd when you think about where Arizona was at the end of non-conference play and how they got better and they made the certain lineup changes and then they turned into one of the top teams in the Big 12 and also college basketball. But man, you can't deny Giovanna Maimon, the head coach of the Arizona women's golf team. She took over a program that was, you know, really well constructed by Laura Iannello. They had won a national championship in 2018, and they were always a relevant program on the West Coast. And Laura, I mean, does what a lot of other coaches do. She takes the bigger job, right? The job that's going to give her the most money, the job that gives her some great resources. And so Laura, you know, she, after doing what she signed up to do, she led Arizona to a national championship. You know, Chip Hale was trying to do what Laura Iannello did this year by becoming a Wildcat champion as a player and also a coach. And Laura decided to lead to Texas. And then in comes this Giovanna Maimon, who was an assistant coach only in her like mid to late 20s. I mean, she's a really young coach, but in her first year, Lev, they win the Big 12 championship. And she's also the Big 12 coach of the year. Great season in year one under Giovanna Maimon. She gets my vote for coach of the year.
She was on my list. I did not pick her. Mainly because they weren't able to advance all the way to the national championship. So I kind of docked her a little bit for that. I went with Chip Hale.
Okay.
As my number one choice. You know, they thought Arizona baseball could make it to the College World Series this year, but it sure wasn't looking like it for a while. And he was able to kind of pull everything together and get to Omaha in his fourth season, fourth consecutive year making the NCAA tournament. They won a conference tournament title for the second straight year after winning the Pac-12 tournament last year. But I mean, really the biggest thing was the breakthrough. Right? Like they had made it to regionals every year and they couldn't get past regionals. They swept the Eugene regional, got a little bit of luck in that Oregon got knocked out and they never had to face the Ducks up there in Eugene, but you know, you can only play whoever is in front of you. And then unbelievable rally at North Carolina after losing the first game 18-2. I mean, was it really 18-2? I mean, they kind of shut it down there after falling behind big in the early innings, but to have the fortitude and wherewithal to rally in that situation. A lot of people thought North Carolina was going to win the national championship, right? Like a lot of people thought this is the best team in the country, the best pitching staff. To go down there and win at their place was extremely impressive. So those were the main reasons that I gave it to Chip. I also considered Wes Johnson of triathlon. As we mentioned, national championship, can't do much better than that. And then Rita Stubbs also was on my list of honorable mentions after leading the volleyball program to the NIVC title, which, I mean, volleyball has, you know, it's kind of been in a down cycle for a while. So it seems like she has that program headed in the right direction. Huge stepping stone this last year, if you remember, with women's basketball. Before they won, or before they made it to the Final Four and almost won the national championship, they won the NIT. And I think volleyball is kind of looking at that, being like, hey, maybe we can do that too. Rita Stubbs is the one who's leading the charge there. So Giovanna, she made my list. She did not finish atop my list. I went with Chappelle.
And also good for Rita as well, because I remember when she was first hired, a lot of people were very skeptical about it because she had such a bad record at North Carolina State. And so it's like, okay, why is Arizona replacing Dave Rubio, a long tenured coach who did such a great job? Why are they replacing him with Sherita Stubbs? And Sherita has done a fantastic job with the program. In the transfer portal, right, she went out and got Jordan Wilson, who led the team in points this past season. And then she was able to keep players like Jalen Hodges, and then going out and recruiting Carly Cisneros, getting the number one player in the country as a first-year head coach. Sherita Stubbs seems like she's got all the right pieces in place, and she learned from her mistakes at North Carolina State. All right, now let's move on to the best moment, the moment of the year. So, Lev, I actually, my honorable mentions for this one included Caleb Love's half-court shot or 60-footer, whatever, however long it was, to tie the game, and then Arizona ultimately won that game. It was just a great moment for Arizona basketball and also Caleb Love's legacy as a Wildcat. Arizona football beating number 10 Utah on the road doesn't happen often at Rice-Eccles Stadium for the Wildcats. As a matter of fact, the last time they won was in 2014. And when you factor in, I mean, they had plane issues, and there was just a lot of things that were interesting about that trip. But to go on the road to beat number 10 Utah, pretty damn good. I might actually like seriously consider it as moment of the year if Utah didn't lay an egg the rest of the year. At the time, it looked like a great win, but then Utah kind of stunk. And then Arizona volleyball winning the NIVC championship is great. Arizona triathlon winning a national championship, it's great as well. But my moment of the year was Arizona baseball winning the Super Regional, Lev, for all the reasons that you just mentioned. North Carolina was dubbed this great pitching staff. Oh, man, this ace pitcher they have, he's like 6'5", 270 pounds, and he's just the best pitcher in college baseball. And it seemed like no one gave Arizona a chance. And Arizona baseball even tweeted out the graphic of all the national pundits and their predictions for the Super Regional, and every single one picked North Carolina. And Arizona to go on the road to win that Super Regional and get Chip Hale over the hump and into the College World Series, I thought was great. The playoff bananas, the MVP trophy with the little toy that they do at the end of every game. You were chronicling it the entire season. It was such a fun story to follow. And for them to win that Super Regional, to me, was the best moment of the year.
So I had the great fortune, and that's one of the best parts about our job that we have, of being in the building for three of the four moments that I jotted down in my notebook. I was not there when Arizona clinched the triathlon national championship, which is something that I listed number four. Number three was volleyball winning the NIVC. It happened at McHale Center, so that kind of made it a little bit extra special and cool for them. So that narrowed it down to two. One of them was, of course, Arizona clinching a spot in the College World Series at North Carolina. And the other one was Caleb Love making that 60-foot shot against Iowa State. And to me, I thought it was pretty clear in my mind that the Caleb Love shot was the one that should win the award as the best singular moment of the athletic season. Obviously, going to the College World Series is amazing. The way that it happened, I mean, they were dead to rights, right? And then North Carolina boots the ball around a couple times. Arizona rallies. Tony Pluta comes out, locks it down. One of the best feelings in all of sports is when you win a huge game on the road and the place just goes silent. I mean, yeah. that was a really good atmosphere down there in Chapel Hill. I had a great time, but man, when Arizona clinched it, like you could have heard a pin drop. Those poor fans were stunned. And that was an incredible moment. No question about it. It's the third time that I have witnessed Arizona clinching a spot in the College World Series, and it never gets old. But man, I got to tell you, that Caleb Love shot at McHale was unreal, unlike anything I've ever experienced. Probably the best college basketball game I've ever been to, whether as a fan or as a reporter. And it was just like, it was like one of those moments that was just like frozen in time.
Yeah.
Like, there were multiple people that I've talked to who were like, oh, I could tell that it was going to go in. You know, it was like as soon as it came out of his hand, like a lot of people wherever you're situated there, you could see like this has a chance. Like this thing might go. And then it did, and the place just absolutely erupted. And Caleb Love's running around the court. A lot of people thought the game was over. Like that was it's kind of like if you looked at like how many people came on the court to celebrate and all that stuff, it obviously wasn't over. It sent the game into overtime where Caleb Love hit a couple more threes and they ended up winning a game over top 10 ranked Iowa State team. But I don't know, to me, that was the best singular moment. Caleb Love was so happy about that. I think he said in the post game that it was the best moment of his life. Right. And I mean, he was just like, his smile just lit up McHale. It lit up the press room afterward. It was just so, so cool to be there to witness that. So I don't know, to me, that was, That very close race between that and Arizona clinching spot in the College World Series, but I gave it to Caleb Love's magical shot against the Cyclones.
And it also was the feather in his cap to his legacy here at Arizona, because the year prior, great player, right? Won Pac-12 Player of the Year, and then disappointing postseason. And then this year, he comes back as a more polished player. He's not a guy that's like, okay, I got to go for 30 in order for Arizona to have a chance to win. Like Caleb Love really was getting his teammates involved, became a better passer, became a little bit of a better defender as well. Like he just became a more polished player, and it really influenced Arizona. And there'd be games where Caleb Love would only score like 12 to 14 points and Arizona would win in dominant fashion. And for him to become a better player and then to have that moment as well. Like it definitely, I'm sure for Caleb, he'd be the first one to tell you, like, and it definitely made coming back to Arizona feel a little bit better and I feel better about my career at Arizona knowing that I left on that note.
Yeah. He ended the 23-24 season in a slump, and that slump kind of carried over into this year. And a lot of people were just wondering, like, what is going on with this guy? Why is he struggling so much? He's supposed to be a player of the year candidate. And he really did play extremely well down the stretch. You know, he wasn't the reason they lost to Duke. If anything, he was the reason that they were still in the game, right? Like he was pretty exceptional, but everyone will remember that moment against Iowa State. Like to me, that's like an all-time shot, like an all-time like top 10 Arizona sports.
That's one of the greatest shots in McHale history.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So I think you should reconsider.
Yeah. So, you know, I might just reconsider.
I think you should reconsider. I think I've stated my case. So you've got all the information out there.
I think Lev is doing some convincing. I think he did a good
job. This way too, basketball could have a little bit of representation in our awards where they'd be shut out otherwise. So think about it, Justin. You still got time before the official final print version of this appears in the Daily Star this weekend. So
I'm stopping the presses right now. All right. So yeah, I'm going to type all of this up. You can find the written version of our conversation on Tucson.com. Also the Wildcaster app. Great awards. Great season. First year in the Big 12. The Wildcats got a few Big 12 championships. And for the third straight year, they also won the Territorial Cup Series. So it was a very memorable year for Arizona Athletics, and it should be another memorable year coming up with revenue share, the second year in the Big 12, and yeah, lots to look forward to. But all right.
Yeah, so I sort of feel like it was kind of like everything but football, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, a lot of teams did really well. Even softball is falling short of expectations. They still had a very good season. They made it to the championship game in the Big 12 tournament. They hosted a regional. Women's basketball, obviously, things kind of fell apart for them. But football's a big deal, as we know. Desiree Reed-Francois knows how important football is. They poured a lot of resources into it. I think they can make a bowl game this year, but we'll talk about that aplenty. In upcoming episodes of the Wildcast podcast as we kind of transition out of the 24-25 season into 25-26. And before you know it, football will be here. That will occupy most of our time here in the coming months, as Justin knows. But nothing quite like it. Nothing better.
Nope.
So we look forward to having those discussions and answering your questions and all of that good stuff.
Heck yeah. The grind will be here very shortly, but yeah, we're going to take a little time off and then but we still got like our summer projects still on Tucson.com. Lev has his Arizona quarter century baseball team. He's going to have the softball one posted. Bruce Patsko, he's doing both basketball programs at the U of A. I've already got mine up and we're going to have our summer projects. So still plenty to talk about. It is going to be a slower summer than we've seen in the last couple of years, but still, we got our stories up on Tucson.com, and we got some great content coming your way. So please subscribe to Tucson.com today. Check us out on the Wildcaster mobile app, where you can also find a sports-only subscription option. And then also don't forget to find the video version of the Wildcast podcast on Tucson.com, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and comment the Wildcast on Apple and Spotify.